Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
KYW Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One.
The idea that really changed my life was in my fourth year when my first player invited me to his wedding and first group of players start to have kids. Then I realized that this wasn't a four-year commitment. It was a forever commitment. And that really started to change my outlook on what we want our program to be.
And our guest this episode, the head men's basketball coach at Division III Gwinnett Mercy University, John Barron. Coach, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be fun to talk a little bit about sports when we've been 4 or 5 months without it.
Yeah, absolutely. And full disclosure to start this episode, John and I did go to college together, although I think at the time we didn't quite really realize it. You were a year ahead of me at your College of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I was an end-of-the-bench player, and you were on the radio, but I had a fun time at York, learned a lot from Coach Gamber, and kind of started my interest in wanting to remain in basketball. So no doubt, still talk to some of those guys, and it was a learning experience that kind of jump-started my career, I think.
So before we delve into your coaching career, what have the last few months been like for you because you guys finished your season? Correct. You guys were able to finish your season before everything went sideways?
Yeah. Unfortunately for us as a team, we lost in our championship game. We had a really good season. We were 23-7. But going into the playoffs, we split with Wesley College in Delaware, who had a really good team as well. And we tied at the end of the regular season, and they won the tiebreaker. So our championship game was at their place. And they got the automatic, so quote unquote, automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. Fortunately, though, for us, we were in the ECAC tournament. So the next best 12 teams or so in a 4 or 5 state radius. And we were the number one seed. We hosted that and we had a really good run. And we actually won that on the Sunday prior to COVID shutting everything down. It's the first time in my career that, I ended a season on a win. So
what kind of conversations have you been having with the kids? What are the discussions like? How much are you able to reach out? And I'm sure you're doing a lot of Zoom stuff.
And that's all we've been doing. I mean, ironically, I didn't even know what Zoom was 2 weeks before all this stuff happened. But I learned pretty quickly, like a lot of coaches and administrators at higher ed, I've been keeping in contact. Originally, we were kind of doing weekly meetings. You know, all the guys were still in school. Obviously, they all shipped out and went home. I have guys from Florida on my team. I have a kid from New Orleans, so we had to make sure they got home. So we just started to do some Zoom stuff, just kind of keeping in touch, making sure the guys still understood that some of the academic services that are typically on campus were still available virtually. So, yeah, it was good to kind of catch up. And we had a little agenda. The guys just took over, and it actually ended up being like fun times for like 15 or 20 minutes listening to everybody talk.
How do you feel the kids are handling it? I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it just stinks for everybody. Let's be honest, despite your age, whether you're 50 or you're 20 or you're even 8 or 9, I think it's a challenging time, no doubt. You know, I talk to these guys, I think some of them are starting to open up and being able to get out to an outdoor court and shoot and things, but summer leagues are canceled for high school kids. There's no AAU. You know, I guess if there's a positive for me personally, I got to spend a lot of time with my 16 and 17 year old. And I only have, you know, one more year with my daughter before she goes off to college and 2 years for my son. So, you know, from a positive perspective, you know, we only quarantined for 6 or 7 weeks. And we spent a lot of time together. And typically in the spring, I'm running around. My son's playing AU. My daughter's in the musical and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And we're all going in different directions. So family time was actually a benefit, no doubt.
So let's talk about your basketball career. What's your earliest basketball memory?
Well, I grew up in Philadelphia. So, you know, I played basketball since birth or so. I remember playing for the Alney Eagles, you know, growing up, and A&M Champ lost, which is still kind of there. But, you know, I remember playing CYO basketball in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And then I went on to play basketball at Central High School. I was a public school kid. Unfortunately, was unable to go to one of the Catholic schools. At that time, my Catholic school was Cardinal Doherty. And I just took a real big interest. I think I always understood more than I could do. I was kind of like not necessarily a fundamental kid. I just kind of learned and picked up things really quickly. Just wasn't as athletic as the next kid, or, you know, I was a really good shooter. But other than that, I couldn't handle like the other kids. But I always stayed in it. I started in my senior year in high school, and then, you know, was able to kind of go to York College and walk on and meet all those guys, and had a chance to play a little bit there too.
As a youngster, you mentioned like you couldn't handle it, the other kids and stuff like that. Was it tough to accept that? I mean, you could shoot, but the other things that did you kind of, were you comfortable with your own ceiling at that young age? Because it's tough.
Well, I mean, I was just like a tougher mental kid, you know, like I grew up in a medium neighborhood. So I was always playing basketball. I was actually a better baseball player. I was a pretty good baseball player through all my years, but I always loved basketball better. You know, but I don't want to act like I was some like left field kid. I mean, I was decent enough to play. And I mean, I played, you know, varsity for 2 years in high school and stuff, but I just wasn't like this, you know, scholarship type of player. My son is very, very skilled, and as a sophomore in high school, and I always talk about how much more skilled he is or than I ever was, because he's left hand, right hand dribble, shoot, he's bigger, stronger. I just think back in the 90s and really in the 80s, late 80s, when I was in grade school, there wasn't AAU, there wasn't basketball camps, there wasn't high schools working out 2 and 3 times. You just went to your local playground. And my playground had some awesome guys. I mean, Lionel Simmons and Tim Legler are about 3 or 4 years older than me. That's near where I, like LaSalle and Temple is near where I grew up. And Jason Lawson, who played at Villanova, played at my playground. Katino Mobley, who was 2 years younger. I remember like Cat wasn't even good enough to play in seventh and eighth grade. Next thing you know, he's like some star. And where did this guy come from? He was a longtime NBA player. So I was like fortunate enough just to be around a whole bunch of guys that I didn't even know. I didn't even understand. And then as I got older in the coaching, I realized how fortunate I was to be in an area where all the guys went to be in on the B&O playground, Zeiler playground. And that's where everybody in the Howard Evans was another one that used to come all the time. He was in college. So it was just a fun time looking back on it. I just kind of didn't know it at that time.
So why did you choose your college out in central PA, about 2 hours outside of Philadelphia?
I actually went to Lockhaven University for my first year, and I played baseball there. And that's Division II, and I played baseball. But I was a city kid, and I couldn't I hated being 3.5 hours away at Lock Haven. It was just too rural for me. Met some people, and I was considering transferring to Millersville. And when I went to Millersville, I actually visited York College also. It's a unique story how I got to York, because Brett Adams, who is the athletic director right now at Stevenson, was the assistant coach at York College. So my girlfriend at the time, my college girlfriend, lived between York and Millersville, and I was home one weekend, and I was going to go to Millersville. And I met a bunch of her high school friends, and we went out to play at Springsbury Courts, which is out in near the mall, the Galleria Mall in York. And ironically, Brett Adams at that time was probably 25, and he was the assistant coach at York. And we get on the same team, like we play pickup, and we win like 7 games in a row. And in that whole time, I start talking to him. He asked me where I go, and I tell him I'm going to go to the Millersville. And he's kind of the one that said, I think you could help us at York. And then that's how the conversation started. And that's how I started to visit. And it's a whole weird twist of fate how he went on to be the basketball coach at Villa Julie, which is now Stevenson, moved on to athletic director. I got into high school coaching and then college. And it's just a weird twist of fate, I guess.
So when you transfer to York, what are some memories? Because you played with some really, really good Division III players during that stretch.
Yeah, Dan Johnson and Jeff Mann are the two. Scott, Dean Gamber's my year. Jeff Landis, Dave Sapala, you know, those guys, those that are listening don't know those guys, but they were really good Division III players. And I think kind of it's when I look back on my career, I didn't even know what I was navigating and by accident when it comes to basketball. When I was a high school coach, I stayed in contact with Coach Gamber about certain things. And then when I had a chance to go to Ursinus after 3 years of being a high school coach, I took that chance, and it was a volunteer position, but I kind of knew I wanted to move on and see what college was like. And I lived close to Ursinus, and then it just took off from there, from Ursinus to Gwinnett. And ironically, I kind of reconnected with those guys. I don't know if you know that Jeff Landis was a high school coach in Lancaster. Mm-hmm. Dave Sapala's son's really good in Lancaster now, and so is Jeff's son, who I think they're both seniors. I still talk to Dean. Dean was still in coaching with his dad, and then to Gettysburg. And I think he worked at Stevenson too for Brett. So some of those guys, I became probably closer in terms of talking to them more often after college than maybe even when we were there.
Was coaching always on the radar through high school, college? Did you figure it was going to be a part of your life? And did you want to make it the focus of your life?
Yeah, I definitely didn't think it was going to be the focus, but it definitely was going to be a part of my life. So I graduated with an elementary and middle school education certification, and that was what I wanted to do. Originally, I wanted to be a principal and work my way through education, maybe even into superintendent, kind of was like my focus. I taught for 14 years, and many people don't know that when I did become the head coach at Gwinnett in 2002, I taught seventh grade all the way to 2011, and I was part-time head coach. So to go backwards, I knew I wanted to coach, and I was a high school coach. I was actually a high school girls coach at our school. And then I wanted to move to the boys' side, started coaching the boys when the Ursinus situation kind of presented itself. And like I said back a few minutes ago, I was like a sponge. I always liked coaching. I always liked watching. Quite honestly, I struggled to watch college games on TV because I'm not just watching for the fun of it. I take some things down. Sometimes I go back on Synergy the next day and go back to 3 minutes left to go in the Kentucky game, and I'm writing an out-of-bounds play down. So kind of like was like that obsessive guy that always was trying to get better. But when, I was focused on teaching, and I taught, like I said, seventh grade for a long time, got my master's degree in administration and thought I was going to go that route. But at Ursinus is when I kind of realized that I thought I was pretty good at this and I wanted to try my hand in it. Went to Gwinnett as an assistant, still taught. And then when the head coaching job presented itself, I was kind of in the right spot at the right time. I don't know if it was necessarily my time yet. There were many assistants have to spend 6 and 7 years and try and work around. And I was only an assistant for 3 years. But at that time, you know, the internet wasn't all that prevalent. You know, it's 2001. You know, to bring guys in to interview wasn't, you know, at a smaller school, isn't like it is today. If I resigned, there'd be 300 people across the country apply for my job. But at that time, there was probably a dozen. And it just, I knew the people on campus and I got the job. And then just a few years later, I didn't want to teach anymore. And I did it because of my career. But then when Gwen had talked about full time, I definitely wanted to do that. So it kind of grew into my passion instead of what I thought my passion was going to originally be when I started teaching back when I was 22.
So you get the head coaching job. What are you, 28, 27, 28?
I was 29.
29. So that's young for head coaching. Yeah. You're only 6, 7 years older than probably your oldest player.
Yeah.
Was that tough? Did it make it easier? Was it not really a factor?
It's a weird story because I, as an assistant for 2 years, and I run my staff like this now. We have a younger assistant whose job is to be the liaison between the guys and me. But I was that guy at 26 and 7 as the 2 year assistant. So when I became the head coach, I was the cool guy and with the older guys who are now juniors and seniors. And, you know, I talk about this when I recruit, you know, for 3 or 4 years, I just wanted to win. It was just about basketball, basketball, basketball. And over all my time, it's so much more than just winning games. It's about relationships. And, you know, I talked to Jolan Davis, who was a senior my first year, who's 41 years old. I talked to him like every week. And ironically, we laugh about stuff because they really did look at me as this older person. And I didn't consider myself this older person when I was only 28. So it was not a hard transition because they really liked me already. But then now, you know, as I recruit other guys, there became a, you know, a kind of like a transition time that they have to understand what they're there for, the expectations. But the older guys liking me at the beginning helped my transition for the 2 years before the whole team became mine.
So I think it was your second year as head coach. You guys go to the NCAA tournament and you go to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
What does that feel right? You're like, oh, not that this is easy, but I think I'm good at this. Sweet 16, this is going to be life. And do you have more of an appreciation for that now further removed? Because you've gone to the tournament, but to have that type of success right away, what was kind of that like at 30 years old?
Yeah, it was. It's a unique situation too because, you know, my first year it was, you know, kind of deciding how I was going to run my team versus how the previous coach, who I had a, you know, a good relationship with, and how he ran his. So my first year we were 13-13, and we had ups and downs and all arounds, and we knew we needed to recruit, but we had a nucleus of 4 really good players, and many people talk about Badu Gay at that time, who was probably ultimately our best player ever, was a 6'9 stud that never came around again. I never had a kid like him come around. It was kind of being lucky that we got him, but we knew we needed to put more pieces around. And we recruited 3 kids that year. Rashid Santiago to run our team as a freshman point guard, Crystal Bracco, who was a shooter, and Corey Kahn, who was also a shooter. And he was a transfer. And we added him to the group that we had of Jeff Thomas and Jolan Davis and Courtney Griffin and Badu, obviously, and Joe Kilpatrick. And then next thing you know, we had, you know, a solid 8 or 9. We start off the season that year 8-1, and we go to Florida to play in a tournament against a Division II team, Palm Beach Atlantic. We beat them. And next thing you know, I'm like, are we really this good? Like, we're getting attention, and I don't know if we're really this good. And then it just kind of, this was a whirlwind. And, you know, we were number one ranked in the region. We beat Catholic University in the NCAA tournament, who won the national championship the year before, who was a nemesis to York College all those years. So I knew of them. And then, yeah, we had this success, but You know, we've been fortunate to be there six times total. I say the same thing to every single team when we get in. Enjoy the journey. It's not about what, you know, happens in the next couple games or one game, but enjoy the time that we're here. And as older guys, you know, I don't know if I'm ever getting back. So I don't want you to, you know, miss this couple of days, the week leading up to it. And I try and put a premium on understanding that it's not about the end point. It's about the journey, how we got here and these next week of preparation, and have some fun and, you know, understand that you're going to look back on this time as probably the best, you know, situation basketball wise that you've ever had.
You mentioned early on for you, it was winning, 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 and it was all the focus. And obviously, as you get older, but what changed? Was there an event, or was it just kind of life slows down for you a little bit? You start to see the bigger picture. What kind of changed for you?
I think, this is basically what I tell parents when I first meet them sitting in my office prior to taking them on a tour. I mean, I talk to them for about 15 minutes, get to know them a little bit. And I talk about those first 3 years that the only thing I knew was basketball. You know, I didn't understand how to help them academically yet. And that became something that we developed. I'm pretty philosophical when it comes to things. I say we try and get the right people, and I continuously work on the process, and the product has come along with it. So from a coaching perspective, recruiting perspective, it's the right people. I'm working on philosophies, the process all the time, whether it's how we're preparing for a game, academic philosophy on, you know, that's runs on its own now. And we have academic resource center stuff, alumni process, how we're playing defense, how we're playing. I mean, it can go on forever. And fortunately, if you work on those two things, the product typically comes along with it. And it's not always wins and losses, but it's graduation and guys getting jobs and, like, you know, moving on in their job. I have state police officers now that are sergeants and moved on into that. So every coach can talk about this, but those are my three kind of like words that I use: people, process, and product. And what happened, really, the idea that really changed my life was in my fourth year when my first player invited me to his wedding and first group of players start to have kids. And then I realized that this wasn't a 4-year commitment. It was a forever commitment. And I use that line all the time, that this isn't a 4-year commitment. It's going to be forever. And that really started to change my outlook on how we were going to recruit and how we were going to present what we want our program to be.
Time for a break here on One-on-One. We will have more with Gwinnett Mercy men's basketball coach John Barron right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey everybody, it's Cherry Gregg here. You may know me around town as KYW News Radio's community affairs reporter, but every week I produce and host Flashpoint, a podcast where we highlight the hot topics in Philadelphia, local newsmakers and change makers burning things up in our region. From gerrymandering to gender equality and policing in schools, we'll walk you through the flames on Flashpoint. It's available wherever you downloaded this podcast that you're listening to now. So subscribe. Thanks so much.
And we're back. Our guest this week is Gwinnett Mercy men's basketball coach John Barron. How would you describe, purely from the basketball standpoint, your coaching style? I'm a recruit. I'm a not very good basketball player, but I'm a recruit for you. What are you telling me about what I'm stepping into if I become a Griffin?
So we play the Kansas offense, and we've been doing it for many, many years. And 2 years ago was the first year where we didn't really, or so, I'm sorry, 3 years ago, where we only had one really good big kid. In past years, we've had multiple. So we've basically kind of, I don't want to say the word deviated necessarily. We kind of changed how we play a little bit based on the team that we had. But ultimately, the focus is on guards forwards. I don't like to pigeonhole players into the old school. You're the one, you're the two, you're the three. We play guards and forwards. And we like big kids that can shoot. And typically nowadays, you know, at our level, 6'7", 6'6", kids want to play at the three-point line anyway. So there are many opportunities for the big kid to do that. And then we talk about our guards having to be able to handle. So many times in the years, I'll just use back a couple years ago, we recruited Rich Dunham, who was our best player this past year, to come onto a team with Darnell Artis. And Darnell Artis, you know, and Justin Knight and guys like that, CJ Wolf, they all were point guards at some point in their careers, but they were able to play together. And Rip Engel was a point guard, and they all played on the same team because it didn't necessarily mean they had to be the point guard. As long as you can dribble and score, then you can play, and we can figure out the combinations that work best. So my ultimate kind of selling point is that big kids are going to be able to get out and run, play around the perimeter and around the basket, and guards are going to have the freedom to be able to learn what we want them to do and still be themselves inside of our offense.
If I talk to you back in 2002, 2003, and I tell you, you will still be the head coach at Gwinnett Mercy in 2020. Is young John Barron surprised?
Maybe. I mean, I think I wanted to move on, you know, ultimately throughout the time. And I know that even now I wonder what will I do in 5 or 6 years when my kids are out of the house and in college, or maybe just out of the college. But, you know, it's, you know, I'm happy where I've been. You know, I've been happy at Gwinnett. You know, I got married and started to have kids. We opened up a family business, which kind of made a stay in the area. So then the gamut of colleges that I might have been able to go to shrunk tremendously, you know, from a Division II perspective. There's a handful in our area. You know, there was one or two times that, you know, I received a call about some different, you know, jobs, and I entertained talking to it, to them. But in the end, if, again, kind of the same business philosophy, Gwinnett as an institution, I feel has the right people I mean, our administration's great to our athletic department. My athletic director's great to me. The process, they're always trying to be better. And then the product is that they allow me to coach my team. So the same kind of philosophy fits on why I'm happy, because of, you know, going to work never feels like work to me. And I'm able to, you know, work with really good people. So I don't know if I would have, if you would have asked me at a young age, I probably would have said I'm not going to be there. But I don't regret staying where I've been for so long.
You've won well over 300 games. We talked about the Sweet 16, six NCAA tournaments, conference championships. If I'm talking to you, give me one or two games that are at the top of the list whenever you take that step back and reflect on your career. Are there a couple that just stand above the rest?
The first memory that comes to mind is how we get to the Sweet 16. Okay. So it's just a basketball philosophy thing. So from that day at Catholic University, when we played Catholic University till today, I foul up three. So I'll give you the scenario. When you're up three, I mean, I watch TV, watch these, you know, big time million dollar coaches, and some guys don't foul, but you know, my philosophy now is you must fail up three, because not only do you have to make the first, you have to miss the second. That team has to get the rebound, and then they have to make a shot. So four things have to go perfectly right, and the odds of that are in your favor. Versus if you don't foul, all they have to do is make a shot, one thing. So go back to that. So I'll never forget, you know, we're there into the round of 32 when we're playing the defending national champions, or at least maybe there were 2 years before that they won the national championship. But Mike Lonergan was there. He was the, you know, kind of like the guru along with Glenn Robinson at FNM. They don't even know my name. We're at this tiny school that's grown tremendously in the last 15 years. But like, we had like one dorm, and like I was a commuter, primarily all commuters. And I have this really good group. But unfortunately, we win our championship game, and the next week is spring break. So Catholics come in to play us. Mike Lonergan gets there and can't believe how small the school is. Like, he's pissed that he has to actually play at our school. And I go out 15 minutes before the game, and everybody's in red. There's like 10 Gwinnett fans. It's our families. I feel like I'm playing away. There's 1,200 people there, and 1,125 of them are for Catholic. Every time we scored, nobody cheered. Every time they scored, it went nuts. So we're beating them the whole time. And with 4 seconds left, we're up three. We make a foul shot to go up three. We go into the timeout, and Mike Lonergan calls timeout, and I decide not to foul. That's kind of like where this all changed. And I'll never forget. So if you look at the whole long court, they're underneath. They got to go the full length, 94 feet. They throw it diagonally away in the left-hand side. The ball gets tipped, though, I put Badu on the ball. So he tips it. So the clock starts, and it's in the air so it's going 4, 3, 2. It's going out of bounds, and the kid catches it, turns around, and throws it over his shoulder, and it goes in. Place goes nuts. They tie it up, and my guys are dejected. Now, my assistant is Jamie Chadwin, who was a really good coach in itself, but he's 24. So we have a 29 and a 24-year-old standing there going, dude, did we just lose? And Jamie's going, I think so. I'm like, we can't let them think that they're going to lose. We got to walk in there and tell them it doesn't matter. And we end up winning by 5. But that is like the one play that I'll never forget.
So you talk about your son being a very good player. How do you handle that? The coach in you, the father in you. He obviously has coaches and people working with him. Is that a difficult road to hoe? Because everybody's pulling in the same direction, but it can get dicey.
I will tell you, it is the hardest thing in the entire world. It is. It's funny because if he were here, I would love to put him on a seat and go in the other room and you ask him that question to see how he feels. I've coached him all the way through and, you know, in terms of AAU. So he played AAU at fourth grade, and his story is a little bit unique because he was never really the best player. I mean, he was like the 8th, 9th, 10th. So as a third or fourth grader through eighth grade, I never really had to worry about it because he never was going to be at the end of the game, or seventh grade, I should say. Parents didn't worry about the coach playing their son too much because he just wasn't in that top five. Seventh grade to eighth grade, he really, really, you know, worked and got skilled and just took gigantic leaps. But in eighth grade, it was the first time I wasn't coaching him. He played CYO. He was an all-star. He ended up going to LaSalle for 1 year, and he played, you know, there, and, you know, he had a good experience there. But he transferred last year for his sophomore year to Pope John Paul. And the coach at Pope John Paul is Brendan Stanton, who played for me. So I promised Brendan that I was going to sit as far away as I can. And I was not, I didn't want him to feel like I was his coach and we have a really good relationship, and yet you're coaching my son. But I will tell you, it is the hardest thing for me to sit in the stands and not say anything and yell at him, or like say, you know, what are you doing? Hustle. And, you know, we talk on the way home. And like I said, I made a commitment to him that I'm going to sit as high up as I can and to the far left. But it's a great experience for me to see my son succeed. And that's all I really want for him. Don't know what level he's going to play. He could grow into a Division I Patriot level player. He's a smart kid. He could be all the way down to being a really good Division III player, but he's definitely, you know, in that range. And I'm just proud of where, you know, he is now after starting probably, I would say, a little slow back in fourth and fifth grade.
Favorite part of being a coach? Is it, you talked about relationships, is it game day? Is it that moment when you realize you're going to win a game? Is it teaching and practice? If you had to put something at the top of the list, what would it be?
As soon as you asked the question, I knew what I was going to tell you, and it has nothing to do with basketball. I think my favorite part of coaching is what happened last Saturday. You know, I'm at the beach. I have a beach house. Fortunately, we've been here since quarantine. And Cedric Ellaby calls me and says, hey, I'm going to be, you know, down by where you are. What are you doing? Comes over to my house, his girlfriend. We made dinner, you know, and my family was here, and Cedric's 25 years old and a police officer in Baltimore. Just yesterday, Matt Johnson, you know, texted me saying he's on a fishing boat with all his like friends. And, you know, where are you? I think it's really about like the relationships I have now with these guys, you know, play for me. I think I'm hard on them. I'm harsh at times, but they understand that we have a common goal. But for 2 hours, I'm that guy. But for the other 22 hours in the day, I want them to graduate. I want them to succeed in all that they do. And the favorite part for me is actually them becoming my friends. And I think, you know, a younger me would have never thought it was going to be like this. But the gamut from the guys that just graduated at 23 to, like I said, Jolan Davis, who's 41, you know, it's hard for me. Sometimes Jolan will call and I'll pick up the phone. He'll be like, yo, coach. And then sometimes he'll say, yo, John. And like, it's kind of like weird because I still answer to that, but I'm only really 7 years older than him, you know? So, I mean, so that's still my favorite part, what it's like afterwards.
So that will do it for this episode of One on One. Want to thank Gwinnett Mercy Men's Basketball Coach John Barron for being our guest. Glad to be back with you. We took a break for a few months here on One on One. Obviously couldn't have anyone in the studio. And frankly, I guess back in March, thought we'd be back in the studio by now. But it's been too long since we've had some of these great conversations. So even though sports really up in the air, we're going to keep bringing you these great conversations. Hopefully one a week here for the foreseeable future. So, want to thank you for listening. If you want to help me out, help out the podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. My name is Matt Leon, and we will talk to you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.